Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hello, I'm Jesse. I'm reading from the Midland Reporter Telegram for Thursday, September 14th. Beecham says connections with rest of Texas, U.S., is priority for Midland. The story was written by Stuart Doreen. Editor's note: the following is another in a series of stories about Midland priorities. Midland-Odessa Transportation Alliance Executive Director James Beecham says Midland needs to work on its connections with the rest of the state and nation. While the region has succeeded in getting transportation dollars to help with Interstate 20 improvements, Beecham sees work needing to be done with Interstate 14 and Interstate 27, newer, longer-term projects that will connect the isolated oil patch in the middle of nowhere to just about everywhere in Texas and the United States. Quote, being able to connect ourselves to over 80% of the state population, over 85% of the state workforce, and over 90% of the GDP, Beecham said, that's kind of the broad goal, whether you look at it from an oil and gas perspective or whether you think about future diversification, that's kind of the grand plan to really be connected, end quote. The possibilities, and therefore projects, seemed endless. He said MOTRAN is currently working on the planning process for State Highway 158 from Midland to Garden City and making it a four-lane divided roadway. And planning requires securing the necessary right-of-way and taking care of environmental work for a future interstate. Quote, at the end of the day, given the energy activity and trucking that we have out here, 158 is an important project, Beecham said. The same thing is true with I-14 and 358, some of those primary corridors. So, like I said, from the big picture perspective of it, just really being connected, end quote. Beecham also said an area with plenty of work on its plate also needs to look at State Highway 349 north and south of Midland. Beecham believes this stretch of highway needs to be four-lane divided heading to Rankin. He said the same is true heading to La Mesa. The current four-lane state highway, which would be part of a future I-27 corridor, needs to be four-lane divided. Quote, you're over 10,000 cars a day all the way to State Highway 176, Beecham said. Average traffic counts along State Highway 349 include north of Loop 250 to State Highway 176, 15,087. South of I-20 to Farm to Market Road 1213, 16,211. South of I-20 to Midland County Line, 12,910. Quote, Midland is tremendously significant from an energy's perspective, GDP, however you want to look at, Beecham said. But today, there's only one four-lane divided roadway that goes through Midland, and it's I-20. If you look at other places, Lubbock, San Angelo, even Odessa, you've got multiple crisscrosses of four-lane divided roads. Midland, really, was kind of left behind in that, end quote. Beecham talked about the finishing of Loop 250, which would be beneficial for mobility and open up areas to future development and take the strain off internal roadways. He said, while much of the focus, funding-wise, has been on I-20, the traffic count on Loop 250 has exploded. MOTRAN provided the Reporter Telegram statistics, which showed the daily traffic count on Loop 250 between Midland Drive and Midkiff is up to 75,779, an increase of 10,000 since 2018. Quote, at some point, you're going to have to add additional main lanes to Loop 250 in Midland, Beecham said. It's 70,000 to 80,000 cars a day on the heavier traffic segments on Loop 250, which is even higher than the interstate. He said State Highway 191 will need improvements, but that the highway's original setup, including 400-foot right-of-way, means there's plenty of room moving forward. Beecham also said Midland is in a much better situation than it was years ago because of the funding from the state. He credited Odessa's Tryon Lewis, who earmarked excess revenues for energy production areas when he was chair of the Texas Transportation Commission. Beecham said that has added more than $1 billion in discretionary funding and allowed local officials to stack projects and think more long-term on projects like Lubbock did when executing the Marcia-Sharp Freeway. Quote, that was a godsend, Beecham said, of Lewis's efforts, a precursor to legislative efforts like State Representative Tom Craddock's Grow Bill, which hasn't yet become law. Quote, and one of the great success stories, although people probably don't think of it this way, when you start talking about stacking projects 5 and 7 years out, is you're getting to more of that long-term perspective. So, you are right there. Some of these things are going to be a way down the road, but we can't build everything all at once, and we wouldn't want to. And I think based on the sentiment we see from South Midland, they'd like to see projects spaced out a little better too. End quote. Size of lizard's habitat to be part of listing process. The Fish and Wildlife Service has extended the public comment period on listing to October 2nd. The story was written by Mella McEwen, oil editor. Experts in conservation programs for the Dunes sagebrush lizard shared their experiences and outlook for potentially listing the lizard as endangered under the Endangered Species Act. They also offered advice to those active in the lizard's habitat, primarily found in Andrews, Crane, Ector, Gaines, Ward, and Winkler counties. Quote, the sooner folks enroll in conservation plans, the more compelling story we have to tell the Fish and Wildlife Service, said Chris Jensen, director of Canyon Environmental, which holds the 2020 candidate conservation agreement with assurances for the lizard. Jensen's organization is one of two that holds permits in Texas for the lizard. The other is the American Conservation Foundation, which has held the Texas Conservation Plan permit since late 2020. The ACF investigates and implements conservation plans utilizing science-based solutions, said Gene Richardson, president of the ACF, during an information call Wednesday morning. Richardson said the TCP is focused primarily on upstream, midstream, and landowners, while the 2020 CCAA was designed for the sand mines that began operations around 2020, with options for upstream and midstream operators, agriculture, alternative energy, and local governments. Steve Manning, president of Natural Resources Solutions and qualified third-party consultant for ACF, cautioned that those wanting to operate in the lizard's habitat need to be aware of two timelines. One is listing the lizard as endangered, he said. The Fish and Wildlife Service has extended the public comment period on the proposed listing to October 2nd, with a final decision to be issued July 3rd, 2024. But there is also a second timeline for the service to designate critical habitat for the lizard. That decision is due a year later in July 2025, Manning said. Quote, "You need to be aware of critical habitat, too," he said. "Don't wait to determine if you're at risk," end quote. Manning and Reynolds noted that the two conservation agreements use different maps. The ACF utilizes the Hibbets map, which covers a 197,000-acre area of the habitat and was drawn utilizing expert opinions. Jensen said that, under agreement with the FWS, his organization uses the Hardy map, which covers 237,000 acres, drawn with expert opinions and high-quality GIS data. The FWS has issued a 2023 habitat analysis that covers 906,000 acres, and Manning warned those active in the habitat that the area could be larger than expected. Said Jensen, quote, "One thing that's critical to remember is the FWS has some wild ideas on what to propose for habitat. These maps are problematic at best, and the expansive way they model what could be habitat is troublesome. This is a precursor of where the FWS is likely to want to go, and they seem to think they can be as expansive as they want," end quote. One positive development, Manning said, is that the FWS proposed ACF and Canyon Environmental get together to align the Hibbets and Hardy maps. Quote, "The fact they proposed that they came to us, is a good sign to me," he said. Jensen concluded that the conservation plans are a way for the industry to show it can be effective in conserving habitats and can demonstrate success. Quote, "Going forward, we will have a lot of opportunity to show the FWS what success looks like," he said. Midland College celebrates Pre-K Academy, Center for Teaching Excellence. Center for Teaching Excellence created to help fill local, regional teacher shortage. The story was written by Ben Schaffer. The Midland College Pre-K Academy and Center for Teaching Excellence held its grand opening Tuesday evening. The Center for Teaching Excellence was designed to mold great teachers and allow them the opportunity to work in local area schools following graduation. Quote, "It also comes from a request of Midland College to help supply MISD with high-quality teachers, and if you go back a decade, this was a time where those calls were aspirational but not really realistic," Midland College President Damon Kennedy said. Now Midland College students who complete the baccalaureate-level program in early childhood education and obtain the Texas Teacher Certification EC3 will be able to fill that gap at Midland ISD and surrounding area schools. Stephanie Howard, MISD's superintendent, discussed the teacher shortage statewide and locally and how these new resources and programs at Midland College can help combat it. Quote, "When we think about the teacher shortage that exists in the nation and in the state right now, we're looking at every avenue we can to bring people into the profession," Howard said. Howard noted that the close proximity of the young students and the aspiring teachers being housed in the same building will be beneficial for the teachers as they continue to learn the profession. Quote, "We're starting to think about our students who are in high school that are a part of our Ready, Set, Teach program, having them begin to work in these opportunities at the Pre-K Center," she added. The newly expanded $32 million Pre-K Academy will allow for 51 more seats in 3-year-old classes and 66 additional seats in 4-year-old classes. There are 10 teachers at the academy and 25 teacher aides. The Scarborough Foundation and the Permian Strategic Partnership both made $10 million donations to the project. In addition, the Abel Hanger Foundation, Henry Foundation, Midland College Foundation, the Beal Foundation, and the Warren Charitable Foundation supported the project through donations of at least $1 million each. The college stated in a press release that other contributions to the project were given by other private foundations, individuals, families, and businesses in the community. Synergy acquires Midland Regal location. The story was written by Morgan Taylor Thomas. Synergy Entertainment Group has acquired 2 West Texas Regal Cinema locations. As announced in the press release, one of the theaters is the vacant Regal Tall City building located off Loop 250 Frontage Road. The cinema closed in mid-July after being unable to overcome COVID-19 effects. The second location is in Amarillo. This will be Synergy's 3rd acquisition in the Midland-Odessa area and 2nd in Amarillo. The company has not determined what the future will look like for the new sites, but plans to work with real estate and development professionals to assess for best use. In April, Synergy announced it would be expanding its current Midland location, 1917 Liberty Drive, by adding an additional 27,000 square feet, which includes bowling lanes, axe throwing, escape rooms, and virtual reality. Here are some obituaries that appeared in the Midland Reporter-Telegram on Thursday, September 14th. Belden Bud Clear, age 83, of Midland, passed away on Sunday, September 10th. A memorial service will be held at Llewellyn Garcia Pipkin Funeral Home on Saturday, September 16th at 10 a.m. The family will be wearing Dallas Cowboys attire to honor Bud and invite others to wear their favorite Cowboys apparel as well. Arrangements were made with Llewellyn Garcia Pipkin Funeral Home and Chapel. Family messages and condolences may be emailed to pipkin@nts-online.net, or you can visit the website www.LlewellynGarciaPipkinFH.com. Paulino Santana, age 68, passed away on Sunday, September 10th. Viewing will be Sunday, September 17th, from 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., with a rosary at 7 p.m. at Llewellyn Garcia Pipkin Funeral Home Chapel. Funeral Mass is set for Monday, September 18th, at 10 a.m. at Our Lady of Guadalupe Parish and Shrine. Arrangements were made with Llewellyn Garcia Pipkin Funeral Home and Chapel. Family messages and condolences may be emailed to pipkin@nts-online.net, or you can visit our website at www.LlewellynGarciaPipkinFH.com. Donald Lee Turner, age 93, of Midland, passed away on Sunday, September 10th. A visitation for Donald will be held Tuesday, September 19th, from 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. at Ellis Resthaven Funeral Home and Memorial Park, 4616 North Big Spring Street, Midland, Texas, 79705. A funeral service will be held on Wednesday, September 20th, at 2 p.m. at Ellis Resthaven Funeral Home and Memorial Park. Fond memories and expressions of sympathy may be shared at www.ellisfunerals.com for the Turner family.
Good morning, this is Kim, and I am reading the Odessa American. Today's date is Thursday, September 14th. Education Foundation, going for Inspiration Station. To help spread the word of what's going on in Ector County ISD, the Education Foundation has purchased a truck that can be taken around the community to share everything from immunizations to innovations. The Inspiration Station would be a way to showcase the great things that are happening within the district. And it's like a blank slate that can be tailored to whatever event is needed. If you are going to have a STEM space and one time at one event, you can swap that out. Then you could put in another modular system that might be more tailored to nursing and ways that maybe you could do certifications through. Or you could create an environment where you're interviewing teachers in remote locations for opportunities to work within the system. Education Foundation board member Jason Osborne said, "It's made to be very modular for any particular event or occasion." He added that it can showcase new innovations, share school choice opportunities, potentially being a STEM-like makerspace environment. It would also provide engagement outside the truck. For example, there would be a large screen where the community can see videos of what's happening within the vehicle. It could be an immunization clinic working with partners with the hospital or with Texas Tech Health Sciences. The district could also showcase the astronomy and the planetarium and observatory at Odessa High School and have a mobile astronomy laboratory that can go anywhere. We have more access to go into remote locations, give students and parents more access to what's available at Ector County ISD, Osborne said. Osborne said the district approached the foundation about the Inspiration Station. One of the ideas was to create a sound booth so you could do anything from podcasts to private interviews for positions within ECISD. I think it's a really neat idea, he added. Starting with a Ford F-550, which resembles a box truck, the truck will have the capacity for a variety of setups inside and out. Ultimately, they hope to go for a coach bus. It is being outfitted by Farber Specialty Vehicles in Reynoldsburg, Ohio. Jason Osborne, an Education Foundation board member, said it will take 3 to 5 months to create the modular system. It would be 450 days for a coach bus. A used base model truck cost $150,000. Fully outfitted, it will be around $400,000, Osborne said. They are hoping to get it by mid-year. The foundation is looking to flip the cost annually to pick up the burden from the district, and that includes hiring a person to oversee and run the Inspiration Station. So all the logistics of the event, to making sure it's on its maintenance schedule, working with community partners, we're estimating around $180,000 total cost each year. That's all the consumables, staff, gas, etc., Osborne said. A part-time driver would also be hired to take the vehicle around. Osborne and other foundation board members, as well as ECISD administration, went to Reynoldsburg to see what the manufacturing process looked like. There are so many different things that go into the sealing of the vehicle, to the electronics, to the capacity, the Wi-Fi structure, broadband structure, to even the computer system, Osborne said. We looked at lots of engineering logistics to come up with a potential solution and pitch it out to the public. Osborne said they want to dream big. This is the stepping stone. The district said that they would love to have a fleet of these eventually. That's really exciting, but at the same time, we need to get funding, and we are looking for folks that will partner with the foundation and the district to help support and fund, whether it's the modular systems that go into the Inspiration Station, some of the vehicle cost. This is the initial vehicle, but our dream is to expand into a larger coach that would have a lot more space and accessibility, as well as even more modular capacity, he added. Foundation Director Celeste Potter said discussions about Inspiration Station started even before COVID. Education advocate Lorraine Perryman shared that when she was a little girl, she would look forward to the bookmobile coming around. She described the green shag carpet and all the books and the smell, Potter said. She added that Perryman thought it would be really cool if the Education Foundation could do something along those lines. Well, so they were like, well, why does it have to stop there with books? Why can't it be for anything? Well, then COVID hit and we learned that there was a great need for some resource that could get out to like West Odessa, Pleasant Farms, even far north Odessa, to those areas where they don't have great internet access. There's not a lot of resources out there at all. So why couldn't we use this vehicle to not just deliver books, but to actually take needed things, resources to those communities? That's kind of how the conversation got started, and then it just evolved and grew, Potter said. She added that seeing the manufacturing facility for the vehicle is what made it real for her. Potter said having this vehicle would be a game changer in situations like COVID when they had to recruit volunteers to deliver meals to students. I think I'm most excited about partnering with other local nonprofits. Think about museums. Ellen Noel Art Museum, the Petroleum Museum. Think about taking those museum experiences out to those kids and their families who've never seen it in person. It really opens the door for them and shows that there is so much more out there, and just partnering with Odessa College and UTPB of getting them excited about something sciencey and then saying, if this really excites you, there's all these careers right here in the Permian Basin that you could do. You could go to Odessa College or UT Permian Basin to learn the skills to do this every day, Potter said. She added that it will be good for workforce development, education in general, and the well-being of the entire community. I think we are all so excited and so ready for this to be here. We're going to constantly have to keep each other in check to pump the brakes. We just need to slow implementation because we want to make sure that it's done right, but the possibilities are endless, Potter said. Director of Research and Evaluation Kristen Wittenberg said the Inspiration Station was created through the work of a committee of Education Foundation members and a committee of ECISD staff. Wittenberg led the ECISD committee, which includes members from several different ECISD departments, to bring a diverse set of ideas and input. Working together, the committee have identified areas where we felt the Inspiration Station could make a big impact on our community right out of the gate. One impact area that I am particularly excited about is in the area of health outreach. We anticipate the Inspiration Station can be a vehicle to connect our ECISD nursing staff with students and families to offer vaccinations, first aid training, and other health-related services, Wittenberg said. The Inspiration Station will be extremely flexible with different modules that can be taken in and out of the bus quickly to maximize the number of events the bus can attend. Our next steps as a committee will be to start getting the equipment and supplies needed to build the first modules so that when the bus arrives in Odessa, we can get it on the road, Wittenberg said in an email. Osborne said they are grateful for St. Vrain Valley Schools in Longmont, Colorado, because they partnered with ECISD and let them look at their innovation vehicle, which is a coach, and learn about things that they love about their vehicle, but also what would they change now that they have built it. That really helps us decide what we want or what we don't want. There's things that they put in their vehicle that they feel as though they don't use it, so we don't want to make that mistake when we are building out our vehicle. So we're really, really grateful for their district and the help and the continued partnership that we have with them, Osborne said. Synergy announces acquisition of two formerly owned Regal Cinemas. Dallas, Synergy Entertainment Group announced Wednesday that it has acquired two formerly owned Regal Cinemas locations, one in Midland, another in Amarillo, coming off multiple record-setting weekends and the second busiest cinema attendance day in the company's history, National Cinema Day, August 27th, Synergy remains committed to being a part of and contributing to the growth of these communities. We couldn't be more excited to invest in these real estate properties within the communities that we already know so well, Jeff Benson, founder and CEO, said in a news release. This will be our second real estate acquisition in Amarillo and our third acquisition in the Midland-Odessa area, and we are invigorated by the opportunity to continue to be a part of these growing communities. Known for its luxury dine-in auditoriums, cutting-edge arcades, bowling alleys, escape rooms, axe throwing, chef-inspired menus, and sports bars, Synergy has not yet determined the exact future for each of these newly acquired locations and will engage real estate and development professionals to assess the best use of these properties, the release said. The new properties are located at 4915 Loop 250 Frontage Road in Midland and 8275 West Amarillo Boulevard in Amarillo. Tickets for the Taylor Swift, the Eras Tour concert film are also currently available at Synergy locations. For ticket information, moviegoers can visit synergy.com. Emergency Preparedness Event. The 2023 Emergency Preparedness Fair is scheduled from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Saturday, September 16th, at the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, located at 5401 North JBS Parkway. This event better prepares you for all types of emergencies, a press release said. Medical Center Hospital will teach Stop the Bleed classes, and the Odessa Police Department will teach two CRACE, Civilian Response to an Active Shooter Event, trainings from 10 a.m. to noon and noon to 2 p.m. A women's self-defense class will be offered, and Odessa Fire Rescue will also teach car seat and fire safety. Dispatch, Code Enforcement, OPD Crime Victim Liaison, Crime Scene Unit, and Odessa Animal Services will be on hand with helpful resources. Other agencies include the Red Cross, 211, the Ector County Health Department, TxDOT, Atmos, DPS, PBRCADA, and Oceans Healthcare. Odessa Animal Services will hold an adoption clinic, which will be $27, cash only. This includes spay-neuter, rabies vaccine, microchip, flea and tick prevention, parvo, distemper, and giardia testing, and all other vaccines the animal has received since being at the animal Odessa Animal Shelter. Visit facebook.me/e/JZBCAA2TZ. Pet Adoption Event. The Humane Society of Odessa has scheduled an adoption event September 15th through 17th at 2230 West Sycamore. The Humane Society of Odessa will also be assisting Fix West Texas with a pet vaccination clinic at the Ector County Coliseum Sunday, September 17th from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Visit odessahumanesociety.org. Midland Native supports versatile missions while serving at U.S. Navy Helicopter Squadron. San Diego Petty Officer 2nd Class Ryan McWright, a native of Midland, supports versatile missions while serving at Helicopter Sea Combat Squadron, HSC-3. McWright joined the Navy 11 years ago. Today, McWright serves as an aviation machinist mate. I knew I wanted to travel, and the Navy seemed to be the best choice and the most cost-efficient way for me to do just that, said McWright. McBride attended Midland High School and graduated in 2009. Skills and values similar to those found in Midland are similar to those acquired to succeed in the military. Growing up, I learned to have a good work ethic and positive attitude, said McBride. Having both of those lessons instilled in you will take you a long way in the Navy and military in general. These lessons have helped McBride while serving in the Navy. Members of HSC 3 fly and maintain helicopters for the U.S. Navy. Navy helicopters are able to perform many different missions. In general, some of the most common operations include serve and rescue, air assaults, medical evacuations, supply transport, and hunting submarines. This year commemorates 50 years of women flying in the Navy. In 1973, the first 8 women began flight school in Pensacola. 1 year later, 6 of them, known as the First 6, earned their wings of gold. Over the past 50 years, the Navy has expanded its roles for women to lead and serve globally. And today, our women aviators project power from the sea in every type of Navy, Marine Corps, and Coast Guard aircraft. Our nation and our Navy is stronger because of their service. As a member of the Navy, McBride is part of a world-class organization focused on maintaining maritime dominance, strengthening partnerships, increasing competitive warfighting capabilities, and sustaining combat-ready forces in support of the National Defense Strategy. The Navy is important to national defense because we are the first ones out and are a major part of power projection and deterrent for our adversaries, said McBride. With 90% of global commerce traveling by sea and access to the Internet relying on the security of undersea fiber optic cables, Navy officials continue to emphasize that the prosperity of the United States is directly linked to trained soldiers and a strong Navy. McBride said the sailors they serve with have many opportunities to achieve accomplishments during their military service. I don't have a single thing that stands out to me that I'm most proud of, said McBride. I think every day is an accomplishment. If you push yourself forward to accomplish your goals in life. As McBride and other sailors continue to train and perform missions, they take pride in serving their country in the United States Navy. Andy Warhol, Fritz Schulder exhibit opens in October. For the first time, pop icon Andy Warhol and revolutionary Luciano artist Fritz Schulder will be paired in a two-person exhibition of their work. Warhol times Schulder, Cowboys and Indians, looks at the mythology of the American West as represented in the work of these two contemporaneous 20th century artists. A press release said, the exhibit at Museum of the Southwest opens to the public on Tuesday, October 3rd, and runs through Sunday, December 10th. In 1986, 1 year before his death, Andy Warhol produced his final major portfolio, Cowboys and Indians. This set of 10 screen prints presents a stereotypical vignette of Western fantasy. Subjects such as Geronimo and Annie Oakley appear alongside a costumed John Wayne, blurring the line between historical figure and market product. This series crystallizes a version of the West, which Fritz Schulder worked to complicate. While teaching at the Institute of American Indian Art, IAIA, in the 1960s, Schulder realized the need to produce work that would challenge the romanticized portrait of Native Americans that long dominated American art. The results were gritty, highly contemporary images of what Schulder and the media deemed the new Indian. In Warhol and Schulder, we have the iconodule and iconoclast, said exhibition curator Matthew K. Ward in the release, but in Warhol's veneration of the popular, there is inherent criticism of idolatry, and in Scholder's embrace of the profane, there is a humanizing respect granted to his subjects. In this exhibition, Warhol's Cowboys and Indians portfolio, as well as a selection of the pop artist Polaroids and other work, is placed in conversation with a survey of Scholder's paintings and prints. Visit museumsw.org for more information. Pfluger files amendment to prohibit Remain in Texas policy. Congressman August Pfluger, Texas 11, has filed an amendment to the Homeland Security Appropriations Bill to prohibit any federal funding from being used to implement the Remain in Texas policy that the Biden administration is reportedly considering. Representative August Pfluger, Texas 11, it's not a coincidence that the Biden administration began considering a Remain in Texas policy the same week that New York City Mayor Eric Adams openly criticized the chaos at our border and stated that the migrant crisis will destroy New York City. Liberal sanctuary cities like New York that openly obstruct federal immigration laws and have policies in place to shield criminals from Immigration and Customs Enforcement, ICE, should not be immune to the crisis at our border. Biden's Remain in Texas policy must remain in the trash can. I will fight any efforts by this administration to force Texans to bear the brunt of their immigration crisis. Woman accused of stabbing boyfriend, a 32-year-old woman, was arrested Friday, September 8th, after her boyfriend accused her of stabbing him in the back. According to an Odessa Police Department report, officers received reports late in the evening of September 7th about Christian Aguirre throwing horseshoes at her 38-year-old boyfriend's car in the 300 block of Brook Avenue. During their investigation, the man told the officers that 5 days earlier, Aguirre had also stabbed him in the back near his left shoulder, and officers noticed he had a deep cut, the report stated. Aguirre was booked into the Ector County Jail on suspicion of aggravated assault with a deadly weapon. She remains in custody Wednesday on a $40,000 surety bond. DNA leads to suspect in 8-year-old rape case. A 34-year-old Amarillo man has been arrested in connection with an 8-year-old sexual assault case. According to the Odessa Police Department, a 23-year-old woman reported being sexually assaulted by an unknown man on October 8th, 2015, and DNA was obtained during a sexual assault nurse exam. The DNA was entered into a database and linked to other investigations in other jurisdictions. Javier Castillo Arias was identified as a suspect by OPD cold case detectives and Texas Rangers, and they obtained a warrant for his arrest. Castillo Arias was arrested on the warrant in Amarillo Tuesday, and he remains in custody in the Potter County Jail on suspicion of sexual assault. Investigators continue to work on the other cases. San Angelo woman killed in Midland wreck. A San Angelo woman has succumbed to injuries sustained in a two-vehicle wreck in Midland County. According to the Texas Department of Public Safety, a 42-year-old Odessa man in a Nissan Altima failed to yield the right-of-way to a GMC Sierra while turning out of a private drive on the south side of State Highway 158 the evening of August 29th. The GMC struck the Nissan. On Wednesday, DPS announced the Nissan's passenger, Sonia Lujan Anaya, 43, was pronounced deceased at her residence on August 31st. Neither the driver of the Nissan or the GMC were injured. semifinalist in the 2024 National Merit Scholarship Program announced. Officials of National Merit Scholarship Corporation Wednesday announced the names of more than 16,000 semifinalists in the 69th Annual National Merit Scholarship Program. This includes Annika R. Gundopalli at Odessa High School. These academically talented high school seniors have an opportunity to continue in the competition for some 7,140 National Merit Scholarships worth nearly $28 million that will be offered next spring. To be considered for a Merit Scholarship Award, semifinalists must fulfill several requirements to advance to the finalist level of the competition. About 95% of the semifinalists are expected to attain finalist standing, and approximately half of the finalists will win a National Merit Scholarship, earning the Merit Scholar title, a news release said.
Hi, this is Linda. I'm reading the Midland Reporter Telegram for Thursday, September 14th, 2023. Happenings. What's Up with Midland by Morgan Taylor Thomas. At Centennial Park, Basin PBS Heritage Festival, September 30th. At the Destination, Karaoke Night Tonight, Thursday. Friday Night Live, Monty Branham, Friday. Open Mic Night, September 21st. Friday Night Live, Vontez, September 22nd. Tall City Blues Fest, September 23rd. Bring Your Own Blues Open Jam, September 28th. Friday Night Live, Last Child, September 29th. At Earth, Body, and Soul. Walk-in tarot reading every Tuesday. Walk-in Reiki energy clearing every Wednesday. Kitchen Witchery, September 29th. At the Horseshoe. Battleground Grappling, Saturday. Texas Battle Bowl Esports and Gaming Expo, September 29th through October 1st. At Midland Community Theater, Rumors, Saturday and Sunday, September 22nd and 23rd, and 29th and 30th. At Museum of the Southwest, Downtown Midland Farmers Market, Saturday. Moving to Downtown Midland, September 23rd. Septemberfest, September 29th through October 1st. At the Tailgate, Party in the Permian every Thursday. Family Fun Day every Sunday. At Southall, Saturday. Dueling Pianos, September 29th. Modern Pop-Up Market, September 30th. At Tall City Brewing Company, Geeks Who Drink Trivia every Tuesday. Tall City Beer Run every Thursday. Carnaval de Agua Fresca, Saturday. At the Venue at Live Oak, Los Bravos de Ojinaga, Thursday. Sarah Hobbs, September 28th. At the Wagner Knoll Performing Arts Center, Joe Coy World Tour, Thursday and Friday. Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse Live in Concert, September 20th. West Texas Winds Fall Recital, September 21st. Key of G Live, September 24th. The Book of Mormon, September 27th and 28th. Three Things to Do This Weekend, September 15th and 16th. By Morgan Taylor Thomas. peruse a local grand opening. The Desert Hippie and Company, Midland's latest boutique-style shop, will host its grand opening for the community. Inside, patrons will find an apothecary and handmade spiritual products along with services. Some items include books, crystals, anti-anxiety remedies, and more. At the all-day event, guests will find oracle and tarot card readings, as well as many types of giveaways. For more information, check out the business's Facebook, https://bit.ly/45r9sbn, and Instagram, https://bit.ly/3edmagp. Friday, 10 a.m. to 8 p.m. at 2101 West Wadley, Suite 42. Break a morning sweat. Join the Midland Run crew for a morning workout before the weekend festivities really kick off. A fitness community focused on empowering one another through encouragement and strength, the Midland Run crew fosters a welcoming and desirable group for any Midlander looking for a free workout option. The Rise and Run event only lasts an hour, and every runner level is welcome. Average pace of the group is 8 to 12 minutes. Wear running shoes and bring water, rain or shine. On Instagram, www.instagram.com/Midland Run Crew. Saturday, 8:15 to 9:15 a.m. at 200 West Wall. Jam out with Southall. Head over to the tailgate for an unforgettable performance by rock crew Southall. Fronted by Reed Southall, the Oklahoma-based band takes over the Tall City along with their sharp edge and indisputable creativity. As always, tickets bought online ahead of time will be $5 cheaper than the day of the show. Round and rectangular tables for 8 and couch sectionals for 6 start at $400. No lawn chairs permitted. Food trucks on site, rain or shine, and no re-entry into the venue. On the net, www.thetailgatemidland.com. Saturday, doors open at 6 p.m. at 4401 North Big Spring. Synergy acquires Midland Regal location by Morgan Taylor Thomas. Synergy Entertainment Group has acquired 2 West Texas Regal cinema locations. As announced in the press release, one of the theaters is in the vacant Regal Tall City building located off Loop 250 Frontage Road. The cinema closed in mid-July after being unable to overcome COVID-19 effects. The second location is in Amarillo. This will be Synergy's 3rd acquisition in the Midland-Odessa area and 2nd in Amarillo. The company has not determined what the future will look like for the new sites, but plans to work with real estate and development professionals to assess for best use. In April, Synergy announced it would be expanding its current Midland location at 1917 Liberty Drive by adding an additional 27,000 square foot area, which includes bowling lanes, axe throwing, escape rooms, and virtual reality. American Idol winner Scotty McCreery coming to Midland by Morgan Taylor Thomas. Country star Scotty McCreery performs at the Momentum Bank Ballpark Saturday. After winning the 10th season of hit TV show American Idol, McCreary rose to fame very quickly. Since then, he's toured all over, bringing fans McCreary-styled shows full of energy and great tunes. Saturday's concert offers Midlanders a chance to see his art in action. Tickets start at just $58 and can be purchased at https://bit.ly/3RLX8U9. On the day of the show, prices will increase. Also available are $2,300 VIP tables. To reserve a table, call 432-520-2255. Opening for McCreary will be LaPorte native and fellow countryman Jake Worthington. At a glance, who? Scotty McCreary. When? 7 to 11:30 p.m. Saturday. Where? 5514 Champions Drive, Momentum Bank Ballpark. Tickets purchased from https://bit.ly/3RLX8U9.
We've been reading from the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American. Please stay tuned for the weather, followed by the second hour's reading of the newspapers.